Talks with Liz Bailey. Our access to audio programmes are sponsored by Impact Funding Partners, the R.S. MacDonald Charitable Trust and the Souter Charitable Trust. To find out more about how to access our services, visit kewnreview.com or email aaatl@kewnreview.com. This programme was produced and presented by our Access to Audio Ambassador team leader, Liz Bailey, and edited by our Recruitment Training Officer, Alistair McPhee.
Hi, today I'm being joined by Linda McGavin and Gemma Graham from Curtis Advocacy, based in Eastern Bartonshire, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, Linda, could you just tell us a little bit about Curtis Advocacy? Who are you and what sort of things do you do?
Okay, so Curtis Advocacy is an independent advocacy agency based, as you've said, in Kintalloch in Eastern Bartonshire. We provide free impartial advocacy advice to a client group over 16 across Eastern Bartonshire. Gemma's probably a wee bit more up to speed with the advocacy side, so if it was okay with you, Liz, I'll let Gemma kind of pick up the advocacy side and I'll pick up my role a wee bit, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. So Gemma, do you want to just tell us about the advocacy things?
Yeah, absolutely. So Curtis is an advocacy agency, first and foremost, probably. That's we've kind of started out in Eastern Bartonshire since 2004, providing advocacy to adults. And since about 2008, we have provided advocacy for, as Linda said, for anybody over the age of 16 who meets a particular criteria, but it's not very complicated. It's simply if you have difficulty expressing your views and you have difficulty maybe understanding information and you want your rights explained, you want to find out more information so you can make an informed choice, we make sure that you get an advocacy worker that can do that with you and work one-to-one, covering a whole range of issues, which I'm sure we'll go into in a wee bit more detail further in the conversation. But in a nutshell, it's basically about working alongside people to make sure they understand their rights and their options when they've got a decision in their life to make, whether that's a really small decision or a massive life-changing decision. You will be allocated an experienced advocacy worker to support you with that.
Okay, and Linda, can you just tell us a little about what your role is at Curtis?
Yep, sure. So my role is an advocacy link worker. Part of that role is to facilitate group work within Curtis. So we facilitate a couple of groups, which we can get into if you want. We also, if we're fortunate enough to receive some funding for particular programmes, maybe for adults of a particular client group, maybe adults with an acquired brain injury or a learning disability or an addiction, we sometimes apply for particular funding and we can help to facilitate a kind of group project maybe for 6 or 8 weeks. Had quite some really, really successful projects. We work in conjunction with Clyde FC community doing some football projects. So we work with the people and break down the barriers to advocacy, explaining what advocacy is about, just what Gemma said, but a kind of light touch. We make it a bit of fun and then Clyde give them some experience out in the park and learn some new skills. So it's a kind of game of two halves. So that's some of the funding we receive. Other funding, we do creative writing courses. We are involved with CrossFit down the east side as well. We've got a group of over 70s who we worked with to provide advocacy support, and they now attend CrossFit. Not at the moment, obviously, because it's shut because of COVID, but they attend the CrossFit gym down the east side. So lots of small pockets of project work we try and do, Liz, and also, as I said, a bit of group work, and more importantly, raising awareness of advocacy across Eastern Bartonshire, because a lot of people, whilst they use our service and as a fabulous service, a lot of people don't perhaps know a lot about the service or aren't too sure whether the service would be for them. So I'm trying to work with different client groups and different professional organisations to try and help them so that clients get access to advocacy and they understand that the role that an advocate can play in their life.
It sounds great. I mean, how has lockdown affected those groups you were talking about? I assume they've kind of not been happening as often as you would have liked.
Well, actually, believe it or not, we are happening more often because with this wonderful Zoom facility, we have managed to, for the people who can use Zoom, we've been using Zoom, and at the start we were doing it quite kind of weekly to try and engage with people, make sure things were okay. And we've taken it down to kind of fortnightly now. We've been doing daily texts. We chose to do a Scottish word every day. So we send out texts to people, you know, and they guess the word. We've been doing weekly newsletters, kind of welfare calls. We have, for Mental Health Awareness Week, we delivered over 120 welfare packages out to people who requested them through our Facebook page. You know, we put on that we'd like to support people in the community. If you would like a wee package, get in touch. And so we did about 120 packages, I think, then. Did the sort of same thing for Dementia Awareness Week with the people that we work with who have dementia. We've delivered packages to them over that week. Just engaging, like most organisations, any way that we can. You know, sometimes it's been a bit difficult to engage with people who are quite socially isolated, but in that case, we're trying very hard to maybe socially distance, drop things off to them, speak to them at a distance, you know, down the path, just to engage with them and make sure they're okay and they're doing okay. So we've been trying our very best to be innovative, as has everybody, and anything we can do to keep our service users engaged, we've been trying to do that.
That all sounds great. I mean, it sounds like you're making it work, so that's fantastic. Gemma, you are the senior advocacy workers, is that right? Can you just tell us what that entails, the sort of things that you do?
Yeah, so Liz, as well as having a caseload of people that I support one-to-one with advocacy, it also means that I supervise the advocacy workers. So we've got quite a small team, really. In advocacy, it's myself, Alex, Susie and Aileen, who people might have spoken to on the phone before. I suppose the advocacy role, though, to make it kind of a bit more real to the people that will be tuning in and listening, I think it's if you imagine, it's about having somebody kind of with you, and I suppose that's what we're missing. You know, we're missing being with people, connecting with people, getting to know individuals, seeing them in their own environments, whether that's a hospital environment or their own home, and trying to get a good understanding of the issues they're facing. So like Linda, we've been moved online as well. We are slowly starting to be able to visit people again, and I can go into a wee bit more detail of that if that would be helpful. But the usual things we would have done, Liz, is going to meetings with people. So if maybe an individual has a meeting with housing, social work, their GP, a more specialised health consultant, and they're finding it really difficult to maybe understand or express themselves, we would physically normally go with people to these things, and if we couldn't go, you know, through maybe other diary constraints, we would make sure that we provide them with information and an opportunity to write down their views, and we can communicate that on their behalf either through letter, email, etc. But really, we are all greatly missing that one-to-one relationship that we all have with the people we work with. Do you want me to talk a wee bit about how we're working the advocacy role just now, Liz? Would that be
good? Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, you could tell us.
Initially, we were obviously really constrained, as we all have been, and we couldn't see anybody at all. So we were using all the usual platforms, you know, Zoom, WhatsApp, Skype. Some of the more kind of statutory services use different types of online communication tools, so we were kind of just adapting to whatever came our way, and making sure people were supported over the phone, either through telephone or video contact, and that worked, don't get me wrong, it worked, and it made sure that we continued to offer that support. I don't know if you would know, Liz, and the listeners would know, but we are actually funded to support people under the Mental Health Act. So we have a really vital role under the Mental Health Act, where if you are in hospital, either as a voluntary patient or detained under the Mental Health Act, you have a legal right to have advocacy support. So we really had to prioritise people that were in hospital under that particular legislation, but also people who lack capacity and people who are adults who are at risk of harm. So we continue to have to prioritise all those individuals that we normally support in those circumstances. What we're pleased to say now is that as restrictions have changed slightly, we've been able to now physically go into hospital wards, and we've been provided with obviously the relevant PPE, and offered a space within hospital wards. Hospitals have been very, very accommodating because we're part of a process where people are coming out of hospital and moving either back home or into another place. So it was really important, and I think we've had that recognition from this local authority anyway, that's been important to continue. So we've very slowly started now to go back out and see people, and I know everybody in the team's delighted about having that contact, albeit with a mask in your face, gloves in your hands and an apron. It does feel a little bit strange, but it's better than trying to communicate with somebody who maybe has a memory impairment, sensory impairment over the telephone and video call. It's not been ideal for people. You know, I think there's been a real difficulty in trying to engage with people, particularly with sensory impairments during this time. Because if I'm wearing a mask, they can't see, they can't read my lips, they can't see my face to identify me. And also I think there's just so much communication around you know, body language, tone of voice, eye contact, all those things that you miss when you don't see people face to face. So we're hopeful that as things move forward, the advocacy roles included, you know, in hospital visits for people who really, really need a service. Some people that have been sitting in hospital wards for a long, long time. So we're really happy to have that restarted. The other kind of meetings we get involved in now, I suppose, that are happening a wee bit more is things like housing, people that are having housing issues, people that young people who have additional support needs, maybe returning to school. We support a lot of young people over the age of 16 who maybe perhaps have autism or a sensory impairment that need additional support at school. So we've started up some meetings there. Another big part of our work, which has continued throughout COVID, is supporting people with their employment support allowance, benefit assessments, and personal independence payments assessments. So they've continued during this time. So if there's anybody that hears this and watches this and wants some support to prepare for an assessment and participate in an assessment, then we're here to help you with that as well. Normally we would have obviously gone and accompanied someone, but the DWP are doing these over the phone, and that's where we come in. We'll help you with that.
Well, it all sounds fantastic. It sounds like you're doing some great work. So I think this would interest quite a lot of people. So I think there's maybe people who didn't even know you guys existed. So how would people get in touch with you if they were interested in maybe some of your groups or they were looking for some help?
Yeah, pick that one up. We still offer a referral system. We always have a duty worker. So if you phone us in the kind of 0141 775 0433, someone will always pick up your call. We use lots of different social media, Facebook, you know, we have a web page, we have an email address, which is just info@caertis.org.uk. And Caertis, because everyone says, how do you spell it, is CEARTAS. Lots of different ways to get in touch with us. And, you know, we this is ideal for us because it's raising awareness about what we can do. And it just fits so nicely in with my role as well, to make sure people, you know, actually can go, oh, I know what advocacy is now, and I know, oh, maybe how it could help me. Or alternatively, they might know somebody else who perhaps could do a little bit of support or be coming to a group. So please urge you to get in touch. And I don't know, Liz, we have just very recently created a web-based app called the Caertis CCC, which is our kind of strap line, which is connect and create change for people. And it's a free app. You can just go onto our website, you can download that. So again, looking at different ways to engage with people, we sort of realise that maybe professionals might use that, or some younger people who prefer to email and text, you know, they're not really looking for the face-to-face. And as Gemma said earlier, we do a lot of transition work, 16 plus, for young people to support them to go into college, further employment, wherever, you know, wherever their path goes, and an advocacy worker would support them to make sure that they feel included in what's happening in their lives and they're making good choices in their lives. So please feel free to get in touch with us any way you want. We can pass the details on to you. I don't know if you've got maybe a mailing list or something. We're really happy to do that if that works.
Yeah, we have that, and we can put all those details on our Facebook site as well. So that was fantastic. Great information there about Caertis Advocacy. Thank you very much for joining me today. And yeah, I hope somebody sees this and it helps them out. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having us. Thanks, Liz.
Bye. Q Talks with Liz Bailey. Our Access to Audio programmes are sponsored by Impact Funding Partners, the R.S. MacDonald Charitable Trust and the Souter Charitable Trust. To find out more about how to access our services, visit qnreview.com or email aaatl@qnreview.com. This programme was produced and presented by our Access to Audio Ambassador team leader, Liz Bailey, and edited by our Recruitment Training Officer, Alistair McPhee.